We need to hear.
We need to hear.
Deeper and deeper.
Deeper and deeper.
What you are working on.
What you are working on.
In each of us.
In each of us.
Your plan today.
Your plan today.
Is different than last week.
Is different than last week.
And I'm willing to hear.
And I'm willing to hear.
What the Holy Spirit.
What the Holy Spirit.
Is trying to say.
Is trying to say.
To me.
To me.
Not the other neighbor.
Not the other neighbor.
But for me.
But for me.
This word is for me.
This word is for me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I am hearing.
I am hearing.
And I'm comprehending.
And I'm comprehending.
That some of my foundations.
That some of my foundations.
Need to be adjusted.
Need to be adjusted.
Put your Holy Spirit.
As a priority
to confirm your truth.
Jesus is the truth.
And I can depend on him.
To reveal
any flaws
that need to be exposed.
And the grace to wash them away.
With your living water.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
The Lord gave me a word this morning, and I did go over it, and I'll be sharing that in a minute.
Do you want the light on?
Yeah, you could, please. The thing that I believe he's trying to get us to pay attention to is not what we perceive we need, but what he wants to download into each and every one of us. So, I'm not going to give you the word just yet. I am going to give you what he told me about the word. Why I needed a dad who would not give me away. This is the word that he was pressing into me. And a dad that would be able to accept me and love me. So, I'm talking about me, but I know some of you have the same foundation stones. And they need to be dealt with. As I am, and with all my flaws, and the sin still in me, how I was is when he sent his Holy Spirit inside of me and confronted all the selfishness and the survival tactics that were installed way back when I was a boy, and I had submitted to them over 37 years of being a practicing Catholic. You know, he had a plan to set me free, and all by grace and his love for me, which never changed. Each time I fell, and he picked me up again and again, because his love never fails. I'm sharing that truth because I was re-establishing some of the foundation things that I was brought up in, and I know some of you were. And it was a vision of God trying to form and conform his holiness inside of me by my works. And it didn't work. And I was 27 when I bowed my knee and asked him to come in and take over because the mess was getting bigger. And by 37, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And the first word that came out of my mouth in the Holy Spirit was the word Abba. There were four syllables that would pour out of me over and over and over, and they were Abba da e. My first interpretation came, Daddy loves me. And I didn't believe it because it didn't fit my theology. It didn't fit my understanding of a God who had allowed me to be born in a different house, not know the family that I was related to, just a few. So Abadae was what was literally forcing out of me the spirit reality versus my soul and my mind, my will, my emotions, and my flesh. So now we have a major issue. Do I go with what I feel? Or do I go with Daddy loves me? Well, this was the sneaky way that the enemy worked. I was now baptized in the Holy Ghost for maybe a few weeks, days, whatever it was. And someone said, when you don't understand what you're saying, you're better off not to say it. So that became a foundational stone because it came from a religious person. So my respect of that religious person was greater than what I had experienced. And I had a greater respect for that individual, so I stopped. Several weeks go by, and I'm not going to pray that new language at all, because now fear has ruled my heart. And so I happened to go to another service on a Friday night. I'll never forget it. And the pastor that's teaching says, by the way, if you think you haven't received the Holy Ghost, then why would the enemy try to stop you? Now that rang a bell. Wow. He lied to me, and I believed the lie. And I respected that individual, thinking he knows more than the Holy Ghost inside of me, or more than the Word of God says. So I had to make a decision. As I'm driving home with whoever was in the car, my wife and some friends, I said to them, I know now that I am going to use that four syllables more than I've ever used it before, because I know I'm irritating darkness.
Amen.
And the more I irritate darkness, the greater God will look at me, and I will sense what he's trying to do inside of me that I haven't got a clue what he's up to, because I didn't know. All I knew was those four syllables were from him, and that's all I went with, because that was the new truth. That was really God working inside of me, and I was convinced in my heart. There was a knowing this was God. This was well done, and I'm going to do it. Literally, I'm going to do it. So now I want to take you to the Word. We're going to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to take you to verse 14. St. Paul is telling the Ephesians, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Father, got it? From whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name.
Whoa.
Family? Yes? So his opinion of the church is a family. A father that doesn't give you away? Well, that didn't fit my theology.
No, father that doesn't reject you? That didn't fit mine either.
Okay. A father that gets more involved with his alcohol than it does with his son, that doesn't fit either.
No.
So you see the reasonings that happen inside of us take hold, and whatever deception or lies that he can put in there, they do come in. So I had to make a decision. I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name, its nature, because the name is the nature. So I said, okay, God, I got you. No, he says, you don't. I'm going to take you to another corner. Psalm 68, verse 5. Says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. I'm getting a clue here of what he's like. That was 68, Psalm 68, verse 5. A father to the fatherless. I felt I didn't have one because they both kind of flunked out. Got it? So I qualified. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. It's confirmed in Isaiah 63:16. Now Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the works of your hand. So now I'm getting a touch because I'm aware that his hand has formed me. His hand has formed me in my mother's womb. Psalm 139. That's an addition. Matthew 6:9. Matthew 6:9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your nature. This is the word coming directly from the Spirit of truth, which is Christ Jesus himself, giving you understanding. That's how you go forward with Papa. Your Abba. Amen? Matthew 7:11. If you then, 7:11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask him, not perform to make him pay attention? So now I have a relational option. When I'm aware that my heavenly Father is not like my earthly dad, that there's a whole difference. It doesn't make sense in the natural mind to go with the emotion anymore. What makes sense is to go with what the Spirit of truth is saying and confirming. Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. A spirit that doesn't, what? Make you a slave again to fear. But you receive the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That was the Papa that I needed to connect with in order to make me mature and grow me up. Before that time, I was still in my religious bringing of every effort before him so he could accept me, so that possibly I could fit in. That's why we're practicing Catholics. Practicing means you've got to work and work and work and work. After I got filled with the Holy Ghost and we started the prayer group, I remember saying to people, I'm all done practicing. So I'm not going to be a practicing Catholic from now on. I'm just going to do it. Because the word Catholic is universal. So it doesn't have anything to do with Rome. It has a lot to do with our Heavenly Father loving his creation. Hashikieta. 1 Peter 1:17. 1 Peter 1:17. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially. That connects, Bob? Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear or awesomeness of the Father, who is so much more than you've ever known. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Awesomeness of his reality and awesomeness of his nature. And when that truth begins to go inside of us, we can go a little bit deeper. Verse 16 of Ephesians 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. To know this love. Knowledge, relationship, all together. An awareness that, hey, I'm not a factory reject. I am really a son of the Most High being developed as a mature son.
Amen.
Not staying as a baby forever. My baby talk of Abba Da'e, daddy loves me, went on for approximately 7 weeks. This is my living experience now. And I was pressing in because my friends had received, some of them, a full language. And I am as jealous as a peacock. I want that whole language that they've got. And I have been left out. Here I am again with an attitude. And I'll never forget it. I had to make a delivery. My wife is in the office, taking care of the business, and I'm off. I believe it was on Sturbridge. Made the delivery, whatever it was, and I'm driving back from Sturbridge on Route 20. Some of you heard this before, but I am pressed to say it because it's somebody that needs to hear it. When it was a gorgeous day like yesterday, I'm driving my van. Both sliding doors are wide open. I'm sitting on my little stool there and driving in the middle of the town of Brimfield. The town of Brimfield has one set of lights. That's all there is. So you go by the town with those lights, that's all you got. And I am literally repeating Abba Da'e, Abba Da'e, and I'm coming over the bridge and I see the light is red. The town common is on my left and all the stores and stuff are on the, I'm sorry, the town common is on the right, etc. The other, on the left. And all of a sudden, something happened on the inside and I get this incredible language that's pouring out of me at the top of my voice, and I've got a loud voice, and it carries, and I know that. And the devil said, the whole town's going to laugh at you. That was the thought that came in. The whole town's going to laugh at you. Anybody got a clue what I said?
Let them laugh.
I went twice as loud. Twice as loud. That's resistance. And that language came out, and I was filled with joy. I can just imagine it again. I didn't care if anybody in the whole earth heard me. It wasn't important. I wasn't going to impress anybody, but I knew that I had received what God had promised. And that fullness was now breaking forth out of me. Did I have a clue about what he was going to do yet? No. Did it matter? No. But he loved me the way that I was. And that was important. And so from that day forward, there's been a lot of other experiences that he did with me. But you see, it's relational. It's me and Papa doing a work in the earth to change this earth from what it's been to what it's been designed to become. We are the children of the Most High, growing up to be mature men and women, to act out and to declare what we've been called to do, to minister to those that are broken. Not necessarily with a formula. Because by golly, I wish you would all throw the formula out. And keep Holy Ghost on the job every time, every step of the way. Don't try to make dad or mom understand where you're at. It may not work. They may not comprehend where you're coming from. But you know what? That's not important. Because there's a purpose to all this. Verse 19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's your future. That's your future. And some of you have a little more than your neighbor. Praise God. Those of you who are hungry and maybe jealous for more, don't stop. Don't shut it down. I'm jealous. I want everything that God has for me.
Amen.
I don't want to miss out on anything.
Amen.
And my neighbor is not going to be my example.
Amen.
Jesus is my example. I want to reach the highest of what he's available for.
Yes.
And what he's already given to me.
Yes.
And I can claim it. It's mine. Amen?
Amen.
Now verse 20. This will take the limits and throw them out the window. Now to him who is able to immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work by the neighbor? No, within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. When that scripture came alive for me, that particular verse, my father-in-law, who had lived with us for 27 years, came down with very severe cancer. He did not know it, but my wife and I knew. And one morning, the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to claim Ephesians 3:20 for your wife and for your father-in-law and the children. So, I made a purpose to write down that scripture, and I tagged the refrigerator. So every time you went for a snack, Ephesians 3:20 was there. Every time you went to the bathroom, there was on a bathroom mirror one of those little post-its. My God is able to do abundantly more. Abundantly more than I can ask or think. So the end result was that the Lord took him home way different than we expected. And there was not what we would call, let's say, average situations. This was the late, actually in 1987. The doctor who was taking care of him said that when he starts having severe headaches, that he should be brought to the hospital. And that I was given permission to give him some extra pain medication because we were getting close to the finish line. So this one morning, I got up and I asked how he was, and he says, oh, the pain in my back of my head is absolutely unbearable. And so I immediately got his medication, took care of that. And I said, you know, Pep, I think we're going to have to call the ambulance. Oh, no, he says. There is no way I'm going to have a ride in that ambulance. I can't stand an ambulance. I've already had one ride of those, and I'll never get another one. Can't you take me? And I'm thinking, how am I going to get this gentleman from the bedroom into, because I could drive into the backyard because it was doable. And so I said, well, I'll see what I can do. So I went in the family room, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, saying, what do I do? And the Lord said, call your doctor. So I called the doctor. He answers the phone. For how, whatever reason, the secretary didn't answer. He answers the phone. I said, do you think you could maybe assist me, my father-in-law? Your word has come that, you know, his pain is really, really bad. I said, he doesn't want to go in the ambulance. He says, Kim, I'll be there in 5 minutes. He drove to my house, parked in the driveway, came into the house with me, helped my father-in-law to put him into the front seat of my station wagon, and I took him to the hospital myself. I'm crying all the way up there because, you know, that was a miracle. Doctors don't do house calls. Amen. Doctors don't leave their situation and drive to your house to pick up a man that is now close to the end. We got him to the ER, et cetera, et cetera. The rest is history. My wife and I visited with him, and we stayed with him. And we left at 8 o'clock or so that night, and by 1 o'clock he was gone. What am I saying to you? The Lord had a plan. It was greater than my imaginations. My wife probably would not have been able to handle emotionally if she had been there, because God did not allow it. The plan of the Father to take care of the natural fathers and spiritual fathers is much different than your brain can handle. So would you do me a favor? Would you put your hand over your heart and close your eyes? Say, Holy Spirit, I'm learning that I have more than one dad. I have a spiritual dad and a physical dad. They don't always match. I'm asking you now to recognize why Jesus poured out his blood so that we could partake of the loving and compassionate Father in heaven of our spirit, and to be transformed when we let him become everything he's prepared us for us to be. I give you praise, Father, to give me the courage to partake of what the Father had already prepared in advance for me to do. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.